gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio Boomer Vision Edition. It is another Boomer Vision coming right at you, but a little bit different. Instead of me yelling at the television set, I'm going to be commenting on Tucker's show and then maybe a couple of other things. We'll see how it goes. But yes, Boomer Vision, even though it's Boomer Vision, it is still brought to you by Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN Republic Broadcasting. Go there, click on the donate button, and send shekels. Also, download the Koshertified app, because you want to know if your poi or your roast pig or your pineapple, because it's still Aloha Week, because I didn't start until the middle of last week, so it's still Aloha Week. You want to see if it's kosher certified or not, so download the kosher certified app and bring it to the hula party. All right. Well, so I mentioned Tucker. So this is going to be Tucker's show. I believe this is Tucker's show from Friday of last week. And let's have a listen. It's going to be interesting.
If you don't have kids in school, you might imagine that the worst trends in American education are pretty much confined to our most liberal cities. You know, in Seattle, math is racist. In New York City, gifted and talented programs are oppressive. In Berkeley, God knows what they're doing. The left has abandoned education in favor of naked political propaganda. You know that. But it's comforting to think it's not happening near you or your children. Unfortunately, that's not true. It is happening, probably right down the street from where you are now. An investigation by this show found a radical new curriculum in schools across the country, from Arizona to Iowa. The program is called Deep Equity. It's produced by a for-profit education company called Corwin, which is based in California. Corwin describes Deep Equity as a teacher training program that is, quote, aimed at producing real school improvement for equity and social justice.
Okay, now obviously equity and social justice, these are Jewish priorities. We'll see how that all figures in.
So how does Deep Equity do that? Well, mainly by attacking the students on the basis of their skin color. According to Deep Equity, America is based on a hierarchy of various oppressions. Men oppress women, Christianity oppresses Islam, English oppresses Spanish, white people oppress everyone.
And it's a big deal that Tucker said white people oppress everyone.
And by the way, if you have a problem with this explanation, you are yourself entrenching oppression. You're part of the problem. According to Corwin, differences in academic performance have nothing to do with culture or effort. They are purely the product of racism.
And of course, Tucker himself wouldn't even say it, but obviously nothing to do with genetics.
In order to fight that racism, teachers are instructed on different types of, quote, white identity orientations. This is all pseudoscience, you may notice. Many white people, teachers are told by Deep Equity, are defined by their, quote, ignorance and supremacy. Other whites, meanwhile, quote, question the systemic issues that have caused whites to be so much in a superior position. The curriculum offers what it calls a, quote, white allies action agenda. Among the items on that list, quote, acknowledge the reality of white racial privilege. Educate other white people. Use your privilege to work for racial and social justice. Feel sick yet? According to one teacher we spoke to who has used this curriculum, the Deep Equity curriculum forces teachers to become racial activists. Not that you need to interview anyone to find that out. It's obvious. They're not teaching anything having to do with math or science or English or language. They're teaching racial activism, certain to confuse and wound and divide our kids of all colors. So where exactly is Deep Equity being taught? Well, all over, it turns out. For example, Fauquier County, Virginia, a place that voted for Donald Trump by 25 points in 2016. And yet Deep Equity somehow is now part of that county's teacher training. Most people aren't even aware of it, but it's there. Deep Equity is also used in West Des Moines, Iowa. It's in Chandler, Arizona. We could go on. It may, in fact, be coming to your school district soon, assuming it's not already there. It'll be forced on your kids, and you'll pay for it with your tax dollars. No one will ask you whether you like it or not, and don't bother to complain. Deep Equity orders teachers, and we're quoting now, to explicitly reject and resist any parents who disagree with it. Got it?
Okay. So you might ask, who's behind this Deep Equity? Because it sounds kind of fishy, maybe a little Gewalt fishy. Okay, so Tucker mentioned that this Deep Equity was promoted by a company called Corwin in California. I don't know if he mentioned it was California, but yes. Corwin, a Sage publishing company. So you look on their page, and you know the page that says About Us, and it's got a little video and feel-good stories, and it mentions something about 28 years ago, on the eve of profound political, cultural, and social change, CEO David McCune challenged us at Corwin to dream, to dare, to innovate. So, okay, David McCune, M-C, capital C-U-N-E, which doesn't sound particularly Jewish, but if you scratch beneath the surface, okay, you find out that former CEO David McCune, well, he's been dead for almost 30 years. Let's see. Okay, who actually has been running the place? Well, and who actually founded it? So it's his wife, Sarah Miller McCune. Now, Miller doesn't have to be a Jewish name, but it's actually a very, very common Jewish name. What was the lady at, I want to say Janet Miller, but who is the lady at the New York Times, Judith Miller, who caused all that Iraq war stuff. Okay, well, so who is this Sarah Miller McCune? Well, she was born the eldest of two in her family, a middle-class Jewish family in Manhattan. Imagine our surprise. She was the international president of B'nai B'rith Girls at the age of 19. Okay, now B'nai B'rith has 25,000 members, so it's a big deal. So she has been a lifelong Jewish activist and has spoken on the importance of tzedakah, which is some Hebrew word meaning justice, righteousness, charity. And when you hear Jews talking about justice and righteousness and charity, you want to get the heck out of there. All right. So just a little history. So Sarah Miller founded the independent academic publishing company Sage in New York City. So Sage is the parent company of Corwin. And she founded this with Macmillan Publishers executive George D. McCune as a mentor. Then a year later, the two got married, moved to Southern California, and George McCune left Macmillan and joined Sage. Sarah Miller McCune remained the president for 18 years until 1984. That's when she became the board chairman, and she still retains the title of executive chairman. So this is a Jewish thing. Well, all right, let's hear a little bit more from Tucker then.
California has the highest taxes in the United States, but it's not clear where the money is going. The schools in the state of California are failing. The power's off and out. Parts of the state are on fire. There aren't shelters for the homeless. And now there isn't space for felons in California state prisons. That's one of the reasons the state law called Prop 47 got passed. Prop 47 legalizes all sorts of crime, including property damage, open-air drug use, and theft. The idea was to reduce the prison population by ceasing to arrest criminals. That's the fastest way to do it. The consequences, not surprisingly, have devastated the state of California. Christopher Rufo knows a lot about this. He's a research fellow at the Discovery Institute and a contributing editor at City Journal. He joins us tonight. So,
okay, let's skip forward just a bit.
Thefts are up 50% in San Francisco, 61% in Los Angeles since 2010. And what you're seeing is actually two trends. First, an addiction crisis of methamphetamines and heroin that leads to property crime as addicts try to feed their addictions. And second, as you mentioned, they've essentially decriminalized all property crimes under $950. So you can go into a store, you can rip a flat screen TV off the shelf, and you can make an exit knowing that the worst that's going to happen, if they catch you, if they arrest you, and if they prosecute you, is a misdemeanor, and you'll be back on the streets in 24 hours.
So the idea behind this law, the ideology that spawned it, is that the United States is so morally flawed that we can't really say that these are crimes. Who are we to say that shoplifting is wrong? I mean, there are poor people out there. But what's the effect of this law on poor people? It strikes me this doesn't help them very much.
No, it doesn't. It really is part of this kind of perverse inversion of the moral order, where they're saying that people who commit crimes are victims of oppression, and they essentially deserve to be able to steal to secure their livelihood. But as you say, the real victims are honest, hardworking people that want to shop and buy goods for themselves and their families. And the cost is real. Not only do you see an increase in public disorder, an increase in thefts and violence in many cases, but according to a major study in Washington State, I think it would hold true also for California, this actually costs the average family $400 a year in a so-called shoplifting tax. As retailers lose money from shoplifting, they pass on the cost to hardworking, honest, everyday consumers.
Yes.
And for the average family that's working hard to make ends meet, that $400 is actually a meaningful impact on their lives.
I mean, it really strikes me that this is something only a decadent ruling class could have come up with.
Okay, now Tucker has to dance around all these issues. This is not a decadent ruling class. This is a Jewish-dominated ruling class that is hostile, completely hostile to the majority population of the United States, the white people, and they're trying to replace them. Now, so we saw in the first segment where he was talking about this Corwin educational, the deep justice, where they're indoctrinating, and this has been going on for a long time, and it goes way beyond deep justice and Corwin, but indoctrinating white people into feeling guilt. Okay, now you've got a separate but very related movement to make blacks and minorities feel justified in crime. They're feeling safe to commit crime. Kevin McDonald had referred to Black Lives Matter as basically a movement to make crime safer for black people. Not black people safe from crime, but crime safe for black people to commit. And, you know, that's what this is all about. So you steal something and it's less than $950, it's okay. It's no big deal. Oh, we're going to hear a little bit more about this, but that's the thing. So Tucker, he can't say that it's a Jewish elite. And then really, the other guy he's talking to did mention violence. I'll say that. He mentioned violence, but concentrated on the economic cost that, you know, what is it? The average family is paying a $400 extra in higher prices due to having to make up the losses from shoplifting. But, you know, this goes way deeper than that. So we're going to hear a little bit about that.
I mean, what does it say about the mindset of the people who came up with this that we can no longer say theft is wrong?
Like, yeah, I think that's exactly that. But what you'll see is actually, once you kind of break out of the aggregates and you go very specific, neighborhood by neighborhood, in
yes.
a city like Los Angeles, a city like San Francisco, what you see is that the thefts are often focused in the poorest and the most disenfranchised parts of town,
right.
Whereas where our actual ruling elites live, the nicest communities, the most affluent communities that have private security, there are very few thefts. So in a sense, they're actually signaling their own moral superiority to their peer group, and they're pushing the kind of crime, devastation, chaos, and disorder onto the people they're supposed to be helping. But it's really causing the most hardship for those working-class families that are just trying to get by in an already brutally unequal and very difficult environment in California for working families.
Okay, so if you listen to what this guy is saying, you could certainly not be faulted for interpreting him as saying, well, yeah, the real victims here are these poor minority people who live in these neighborhoods, because these are where these thefts take place. And the rulers, the ruling class, they live in their you know, he doesn't say it explicitly, but you know, they're white societies and they get to virtue signal, while the real victims are the poor, the hardworking, poor hardworking families. Now, earlier in the show, when he was talking about families and everything, he seemed to be talking about law-abiding people, and you wonder, was he talking about white people, or is this, you know, more Dems is the real racist, DR squared, or whatever it is, Dems are the real racist, DR to the third. We're gonna see what happens. We're going to see what happens.
Thank you.
Well, George Soros is single-handedly remaking our legal system in many places by installing left-wing radicals in DA offices, electing prosecutors. The epicenter of this effort is the city of Philadelphia, where Soros-backed DA Larry Krasner is going soft on crime, including murder. The mother of one of the murder victims is next, and she has a message for him. Stay tuned.
Okay. Now, we all know who George Soros is. So he's going around giving a lot of money, getting DAs elected all over the place. It's not just Philadelphia. And we know he's a big Jewish activist. Is he a big pro-Israel activist? No, he's not a big pro-Israel activist. He's a big Jewish activist. And he's involved not so much in promoting wars for Israel. He's involved in promoting immigration, massive replacement level immigration into North America, Australia, and Europe, and pushing all of this homosexuality and tranny stuff and whatnot, Black Lives Matter and all of that stuff. Lawrence Krasner, the DA in Philadelphia, who is basically legalizing the murder of whites by blacks, Krasner, well, that is a Jewish name, and you look at his Wikipedia page. Lawrence Krasner was born in St. Louis, Missouri in 1961. His father, the son of Russian Jewish immigrants, wrote crime fiction. And his mother was an evangelical Christian minister. Okay, so maybe you're saying, and I don't know, maybe his mother was ethnically Jewish, I don't know, but she was an evangelical Christian minister. So you would think, well, Krasner probably didn't have a Jewish upbringing. So what's the connection there? But this, we see this time and time again. We see these people who maybe have a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, and maybe did not have a Jewish upbringing, and yet they even I can't say how they identify in their hearts. I can't say oh, they identify strongly as Jewish, but you see time and time again that these people work very, very much in the, you know, Jewish priorities. They've worked for Jewish priorities. So you've got this Lawrence Krasner's one. Think of Bill Maher. Bill Maher, the guy with the HBO show, and very, very, he's half Jewish. His father is Jewish. His mother's not Jewish. And that is a very, very, he pushes a very Jewish agenda. You think of, Katrina Vandenhoevel, who is the wife of my favorite Professor Stephen F. Cohen, but Katrina Vandenhoevel has been the editor of the Nation magazine for, I don't know, 20 years or something, a long time. And it's a very, very Jewish magazine pushing a very, very Jewish agenda, even if Stephen Cohen himself doesn't. And he acknowledges that they have a lot of arguments about politics at home. But this is something that we see over and over again. Okay. So after the break, we are going to hear Tucker interview this woman whose son was murdered in broad daylight in Philadelphia by a black man who had, before the trial, but before the murder, had posted on his Facebook that he was going to slash somebody, he was going to stab somebody, and after the murder had rapped about it, and that this Jewish prosecutor Krasner had suppressed that evidence, not let the jury hear that evidence, reduced the charges, and we're going to hear, and then after that, I'm going to tell you what I think is going on. So I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back to the show as our Hawaiian themed Aloha Week continues. All right, let's hear from Tucker's interview with this bereaved mother.
Well, Philadelphia's Soros-backed District Attorney Larry Krasner is transforming that city by going soft on crime. Krasner says that he wants to lock up violent criminals. That's his public position, but it's obviously untrue. Consider the case of Sean Skellinger. Skellinger was stabbed to death in public in 2018. There's no question about who did it. The guy who did it admitted doing it. Krasner's office charged that man with first-degree murder, but later downgraded the charges to third-degree murder. And then, days before trial, Krasner downgraded the charges once more to manslaughter. And that blew up the case completely. The killer, again, the acknowledged killer, was acquitted last month. And that, of course, was clearly Krasner's plan. Now, the victim's mother says, Krasner did that. He's responsible. He should be punished. We spoke to Linda Skellinger recently about this. Here's the conversation. First, I couldn't be sorrier about what happened to your son and how your family was treated by the city of Philadelphia. Tell us, explain to us why you hold Larry Krasner guilty, why you think he's the reason that the killer walked free.
Yeah, thank you, Tucker. I clearly think that he is the reason that the killer walked free. As I stated on the last day of the trial, I said to the judge that I wanted Larry arrested for obstruction of justice. And I will not rest until I see him in handcuffs. I do believe that potentially criminal activity has occurred here on behalf of the district attorney. He has suppressed evidence in Ennis. So there's many, many instances. We don't have time here to go through all of that, but many instances that I can provide you where he has suppressed evidence, Facebook posts, videos that were created by Michael White, the killer, the defendant here, and they were pre-killing Sean.
Okay, now a weird thing happens. The actual YouTube video that I got this from deleted a few seconds, and those few seconds were the mother or somebody, because I did see this, stating that, whether it was mother or Tucker, stating that the killer had accused his victim of having used the N-word, which of course justifies anything. So why would that got deleted from the YouTube video, that's anybody's guess.
Comment to him, no one heard this, seemed clearly that he made it up, but on the basis of that, Krasner's position appeared to be, well, you know, he deserved to be killed for that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So no one corroborated, not one eyewitness. It's Rittenhouse Square on a Thursday evening in the summer. There's joy. People are outside. The restaurants are open for business. These people had no dog in this fight. They didn't know Michael. They didn't know Sean. Not one person heard this racial slur except for Michael.
Right.
So interesting, right?
And then so he rapped about it. He, in effect, bragged about murdering your son after the killing.
Okay, let's skip forward.
I literally, as I'm walking into your studio, got a call from a mother. Her son was killed, third-degree murder. They dropped it today to aggravated assault.
And he was murdered?
This is what he does. And he was murdered. He's dead. Yes, a 30-year-old young man. Another one dead. I can line up for you hundreds of mothers in this city that are in the same position that I am in. The continuation of the reduction of charges for violent criminals. We're not talking about theft. We're right. Not talking about misdemeanors. We're talking about taking someone's life. Mr. Krasner has continually suppressed the evidence to reduce the charges. This was a murder one charge, as you said at the start.
Yes.
The assistant district attorney, Lou Tomolo, who was originally the charging prosecutor, charged murder one. And he believed that this was a murder one charge because there was premeditation, as Michael had put out on his Facebook post. He said he was going to cut someone. He said, I am going to cut someone.
So Larry Krasner is one of many prosecutors taking the side of criminals. Is in effect installed by George Soros, who shows up in this country with a lot of money and decides to transform our country.
Okay, now this type of thing actually goes on an awful lot. It goes on a lot, and you hear this one case and you think, okay, that's one case. Well, it's not one case, but here's something else. The way that very few of these cases get into national news, and to the extent they get into local news, and they do get in local news. Local news, a lot of local news is about this. But listen to the way local Philadelphia TV talks about the same case.
Last summer, two families' lives were forever changed. One family lost their son, and another family's son was facing a murder charge. But that may all soon be changing after Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner filed a motion Friday to drop a third-degree murder charge against Michael White.
Now, obviously, the media ownership is heavily Jewish, but what you find on local news is among reporters and anchor people, blacks are heavily overrepresented. And so what you have here, you got this black lady who's reporting on it, and, you know, she's very, very neutral between the two sides. You know, one side lost their son, and the other side has a son facing murder charges, and both families are suffering.
Skellinger, a Center City developer, was stabbed to death after an argument broke out between him and White near Rittenhouse Square in July of 2018. According to witnesses, Skellinger got out of his car to alleviate a traffic jam. White was delivering food on a bike, and as he was passing through, the pair got into an argument.
Okay, and you hear this type of thing over and over again, where you have a black murdering a white. It's, well, the pair got into an argument, or a fight broke out, and that's when the white winds up dead, okay? If the white doesn't wind up dead, then he attacked the black, like, you know, with Jacob Goodwin and DeAndre Harris. Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to tie this together.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are my paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilandia.
You are my dream come true.
Okay, welcome back to the show. So this is an Aloha-themed week, but we're not, it seems to me that Aloha Americans, and I've explained that's white people, we do show a lot of Aloha spirit. We show a lot of respect and mercy and understanding to people. And it's not being reciprocated. It's not being reciprocated. So in the last segment, we just heard about a woman whose son was murdered, and the prosecutor let the murder off. And we heard Tucker talk about George Soros, who was instrumental in getting this prosecutor elected. The DA, district attorneys, are elected in most places. And we earlier in the show, he had somebody on from California and saying how any robberies or burglaries under $950 are treated as misdemeanors, and people are let go within 24 hours. So you've got that. You've got the education system, which is teaching, you know, the deep, what do they call it? Deep justice. So that teaching that white people are oppressing everyone else. So you've got this academic system that is teaching these theories that, you know, that whites are racist and oppressive against everybody else. So basically, And that gets amplified by the media. It gets, you know, you see it everywhere. You see it, you know, not just in movies or TVs or whatnot, not just on the news, in, you know, advertisements, just this widespread humiliation and, you know, criticism of white people. So you've got that. And this, basically what you've got is the academia and the media is inciting violence against white people. Then when you've got the district attorneys and the court system that lets blacks off scot-free with murder, lets them get away with murder. And, you know, in the case of the... and this is hardly unique in the case of this Philadelphia person. The murderer is saying, "Well, yeah, I killed the guy, but he called me the N-word, right?" And well, he gets let off. There was another case not long ago in Florida where a math tutor allegedly called his student the N-word after not being paid for a lesson, and then the student murdered him. And so, is that okay? Yeah, apparently it's okay. It's okay to murder somebody. So you've got academia and the media inciting blacks against whites, and then you've got what we could call the critarchy, if you want, the legal system emboldening them because they can get away with it. They can get away with it. And, you know, this goes on and on and on. You can bring up this case or that case, and people are just going to say, "Oh, well, that's just one isolated example." They're not going to believe it's systemic. It's like this with so many things. You know, you can bring up the crime. They won't believe it's systemic. But, you know, well, that's just one thing. You can bring up, you know, IQ data, or you can bring up all sorts of things. And every time you bring up something, somebody else, you know, the person's going to say, "Oh, well, that's just one thing." This is what makes David Duke's My Awakening so powerful, okay? Because you can sit there and read it or listen to the audiobook. And any given thing, you can open up to any page and you can read it and you say, "Oh, well, that's just this. Oh, well, we can explain that away with this." But the thing is, if you read the whole thing, it's just page after page after page. And there comes a point where it's like you just kind of run out of excuses. You run out of excuses. Okay, so the N-word. Okay, so the N-word, if a white person uses the N-word, then it's okay to kill them. So how's that whole N-word thing going? Let's hear about that. Here, this is a video. You're not going to be able to see what's going on, but you've got several aspiring rappers who have invaded the car. You see a white kid, probably about 16, who's sitting at in a driver's seat, and the blacks have invaded his car, and he's got at least three handguns pointed at his head. Okay, so that's I've set up the situation. Let's hear what happens.
Like, for real, like, you gonna die, bro. Run your pockets, nigga. I'm not fucking playing with you, bro. Everything, bro. Give it to him, nigga. Give it to him. Bro, I'm not fucking, nigga. Run your shit, nigga.
No,
bro.
Bro, what do you want?
Bro, I don't get everything, bro.
I don't give a fuck, nigga.
Bro, fuck you. Who the fuck you think you is?
Get this nigga phone.
Hey,
get this nigga phone, bro.
No, please. Bro, give him your phone, bro. I'm not playing with you.
Hey, phone.
Give him your phone, bro. Give him your fucking phone, bro. Bro, don't touch him, bro.
What do you want? I'll give you some.
What do you want? What you got? Hey,
what you got, nigga? You got money?
What you got?
Hey, you got money, nigga?
What's in your pocket,
bro?
Everything you got, nigga. Okay, now I think I might have heard the N-word once or twice in that little clip there. So they thought that was, you know, really cool. And that the video continued. It had them, the four aspiring rappers, you know, going over the booty that they had stolen from this white kid. Now, you might ask, where is this? Is this in Chicago? Is this in Los Angeles or Philadelphia? That was in Kansas, okay? That was in Kansas. So this is going on everywhere. Now, these kids were arrested. What's going to happen to them? Their names aren't even being released because they're minors, so they probably will get off. Who knows? They probably will get off pretty lightly. But, you know, this was armed robbery with pointing multiple guns at this guy. Four guns, or at least three guns, were, you could see in the video, at this white kid's head. This is going on all over the place. It's going on in Kansas. And, you know, they can use the N-word with reckless abandon. A white person to use the N-word, and it's okay to kill him. It's okay to kill him. One more little clip, and I just think this is interesting. Is it out of place? We'll see. Oh, by the way, I mean, these kids uploaded this themselves. They must have uploaded it themselves. They recorded it themselves and uploaded it to World Star Hip Hop. So this is a thing. There's a website with a big YouTube channel, very popular YouTube channel, World Star Hip Hop. And one of the things that is common on World Star Hip Hop is blacks committing violence against each other, against whites, a lot against whites. And then they upload it because they think it's funny. And, you know, funny, World Star Hip Hop doesn't seem to have any trouble keeping their YouTube channel. And they here, you know, they get to upload these fun videos of whites, of blacks terrorizing whites. So that's very interesting. Okay, by the way, you know, when I was going to get this video, then I see another video that had been uploaded. And it was a black substitute teacher, a female substitute teacher, punching one of her students three times and then throwing her on the floor and then stomping on her head for good measure. Okay, well, let's listen to this next video, which will be a little bit lighthearted. So let me set it up for you. This is Snoop Diggity Dogg, the well-known rapper. He's not an aspiring rapper. He's a very successful rapper for almost 30 years now. And he is watching on TV a mixed martial arts fight between a Tyrone Woodley and Darren Till, who is from Great Britain. Now, because Snoop Diggity Dogg is perpetually stoned and mentally retarded, he was under the impression that this was an American fighter. The white person was an American fighter named Cody Covington, who is a well-known vocal supporter of Donald Trump. So that sets it up. And this Snoop Diggity Dogg watched this, and then he recorded it and uploaded it to his Instagram account. So this is from Instagram. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, the gorilla that ran up on King Kong Tyrone Woodley. Beat his ass. Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Beat his motherfucking ass. Fuck Donald Trump, nigga. Beat his ass. For all the niggas out there, cuz, whoop this motherfucker. Whoop his motherfucking ass. Beat his motherfucker, this motherfucker, cuz. Fuck Donald Trump, nigga. Whoop him, cuz. Whoop him. Whoop him, cuz. Choke the dog shit out of him. It's the dart. They call this the dart. Tap this nigga out. Tap his bitch ass out, nigga. Yeah, nigga. Black Panther, nigga. Wakanda. Tap out, nigga. Wakanda, nigga. Wakanda forever. Fuck Donald Trump. You ain't no gorilla, nigga.
Okay, now first I'd like to apologize to everybody in the universe for having played that, especially to John Statmiller. We at RBN, we don't like to have that type of language on RBN, but honestly, if I were to bleep all of those expletives, there wouldn't be anything left. I mean, honestly. So you needed to get a sense of this. All right, so this is a very, very... A big celebrity in Hollywood, who uploaded this to his own Instagram account. Now, okay, Instagram's owned by Facebook, and they have no problem with this. Lots of people get kicked off of Facebook for this or that, but they have no problem with this. Now, the repeated use of the N-word. Well, okay, so blacks are allowed to use the word. All right. Now he was using it like the hoodlums, the thugs in the last video. He was using it against a white. He was also using it, referring to black people, but he was also using it as an epithet against this white fighter who was losing a fight to a black fighter. So the white fighter is losing a fight to a black fighter, and so he was being called the N-word. Now, was this racial? You bet it was racial. Some people might say, okay, well, he thought that this white fighter was a different white fighter who supports Donald Trump, and he doesn't like Donald Trump, right? He kept saying F Donald Trump over and over again, right? Because he disagrees with Donald Trump's trade policy or family separation at the border or something. Well, I would say that it's because Donald Trump is an avatar for white people, and he sees this as a race war. Now, if he didn't see it as a race war, this wasn't racial, why is he yelling Wakanda at the end? Wakanda, Black Panther, Wakanda. Why is he yelling that if he's not looking at this in racial terms? Obviously, he's looking at this as a racial thing. Okay, well, you might just say, oh, he's one person. Well, he's one person. He's one person who's not going to lose his Instagram account. Is he going to lose any endorsements? Did you hear anything about this? This happened a year ago. Was it a big deal? You know, when the governor of Virginia, when it was revealed that 35, 40 years ago he had been... He put blackface on when he was doing an impression of Michael Jackson. And, you know, I have no use for this governor, but okay, he put blackface on when he was doing an impression of Michael Jackson or whatever. That was huge news. This isn't going to be news. Now, who is Snoop Diggity Dog? All right, so he's been a rapper for almost 30 years, very successful. He also has been in and out of prison. A lot of drugs, a lot of, weapons violations. Well, what else? How about murder? Okay, so he and another gangster he was driving a car, and his accomplice was also in the car, and one of them, probably the accomplice, because Snoop Diggity Dog was busy driving, shot and killed a rival gang member. So they were both charged with murder, but they were represented by one Johnny Cochran, the same black attorney who got O.J. Simpson off of a murder charge that everybody knows that he committed. So here again, you've got these, and this goes way back. It was celebrities back in the day, and now it's pretty much anyone. Now, and of course, Snoop Diggity Dog didn't shoot a white person. He shot a black person. But this is the thing. They elevate these people. So you got somebody like him who's gotten away with murder. He's gotten away with murder. And he's been in and out of prison. He used to be in and out of prison. Now he's just like he gets arrested frequently, but doesn't have to go to prison over and over and over again. So drugs and firearms violations. And, he simply gets a slap on the wrist. He has to do... community service, if you're a celebrity, community service is simply going out and doing publicity for yourself. Is he promoted by the Zionist establishment? Well, by Hollywood? Look at all these television shows where mostly, he does cameo appearances where he's playing himself. Okay, King of the Hill is the same guy who did Beavis and Butthead. It was an MTV show. Just Shoot Me, I've heard of that. Crank Yankers, that had Jimmy Kimmel. That was a Comedy Central show. The Chappelle Show, Bernie Mac. I think Bernie Mac was pretty mainstream. What else? You've got, here's a good one. You've got Big Time Rush. Big Time Rush 2010. Big Time Rush is for tweens. It's for like 10-year-olds. He was on the Kids' Choice Awards, too. You know, so he's being pushed to the kids. He's also, I remember back in 15 years ago when I'd watch TV late at night, I'd watch the BBC late at night or BBC or other shows, and they would have, Snoop Doggy Dog, that's what they called him back then, Snoop Doggy Dog, or maybe just Snoop Dogg. When he gets behind that camera, it was like a Girls Gone Wild type thing. It was, you know, this softcore pornography. And so, I mean, he's been involved in everything. And he's, you know, he's portrayed, you know, he's in all these movies, in all these, you know, he gets to go on as himself, portray himself, gets all his money for the kids, you know, show after show after show. The Simpsons. Here, The Simpsons appears at himself. When? 2017. After 25 years or more of you know, being a poster child for getting away with it, with getting away with murder. All right, we'll be right back.
We're going to sing together, okay?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so what do you do with this episode? Started with Egyptian Tucker about the propagandization that's going on in our school system, educating, brainwashing whites and blacks into thinking there's something wrong with white people, that we're horrible people, that we're all privileged. We got the privilege of getting our heads stomped on, basically, in class. So you got this incitement, and it's Jewish-led, right? I think I established that. It's Jewish-led incitement of blacks to be violent against whites. You've got, again, in the judicial system, Jewish-led emboldenment of blacks because, well, they're going to get away with things. They're going to get away with it. You've got this whole N-word thing where, you know, oh, people will say, oh, the blacks can use it with each other because with it, each other it's a term of endearment. Did it sound like a term of endearment when those four aspiring rappers were robbing that white kid in his car at gunpoint? Did that sound like endearment? No. And then you've got if and I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned it on this show or if I mentioned it on Mark Collett's show last week, but you had these three white students walking through a dark parking lot in the University of Connecticut who were talking amongst themselves, and they used the N-word amongst themselves, just not calling anybody it, just saying it. And it happened to be recorded, and then the NAACP got involved, and they were able to dox these kids, and two of them were arrested. The one who didn't say the word didn't get arrested. They got arrested for walking through a dark parking lot, not shouting it, just saying the N-word, not calling anybody, not threatening anybody. But you know, Snoop Diggity Dogg, he can upload this to Instagram, and it's all funny. And no consequences, just like there's no consequences for him when he and his friend murdered somebody. So then what do we do? Okay, so it's a really bad situation. So what do we do? And, you know, sometimes I try to be a bit humorous, and I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, we're too sensitive. Maybe we need insensitivity training. Maybe we've got to stop being so sensitive. Maybe... you know, I don't want to use the N-word. Maybe it should become mandatory. Well, okay, you do have that whole freedom of speech First Amendment thing, so I don't think you can force people to use the word. But public officials, maybe it can become part of the, you know, swearing-in ceremony or something. You know, what do we do? Obviously, I would like to see demonstrations in front of TV, you know, local TV studios when, you know, they broadcast trash, like, you know, they're talking about an attack of murder of a white person, but then they're saying, oh, well, it's ripping apart the poor family of the murderer. You know, this type of stuff, we need to have boycotts of all these media companies. We have to boycott so much, it's hard to know where to start. You know, and I keep going back to Koshertified, but honestly, the boycotts, Because we're subjected to violence when we go out and demonstrate, but the boycotts could be really, really effective. And to make the Koshertified app work, that's a template for what we need. Because there's so many things, we can't boycott everything at once. We have to do it, in some sort of coordinated fashion, one at a time. And this, let's make the Koshertified app work, because it's a template for what we need to have done. And I'm sure later in this week I'll have a call-in show, and people are going to call in with ideas of what needs to be done. And that's when I'll be back again with more exciting episodes of National People Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.